Well, greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Jason Troyer.
And Joe Scott.
Filling in for Bob Enyard, who is the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we've gotten a lot of reaction from yesterday's show where we talked to a guy from Denver, Dave in Denver, and he was for killing handicapped people, killing Chinese people, Italian people, but he was very compassionate. And we couldn't get all of our comments out at the time.
Oh,
so
Jason, I couldn't sleep last night. I mean, this guy
was your leg? Was your leg bothering you?
No, no painkiller would get rid of Dave, let me tell you. I could not sleep. I was so angry. I called my son when I got home, and I said, Sean, you've got to listen to this show. Because a guy called in today and said handicapped people should be killed. Mm-hmm. And he didn't believe me. I said, Sean, you need to listen to this show. He said that handicapped people should be aborted. And he was, well, my son is flammable, to put it lightly. And so he listened to the show. I haven't spoken to him since. He has. I'll talk to him tonight. But, you know, after that, I just couldn't. I kept thinking about this guy, Dave, who had the audacity to say that my daughter-in-law shouldn't exist. You know what? Kelly has had 200 breaks in her body. Mm-hmm. I've had one, and I'm whining all the time.
You got two.
Well,
you had two bones broken.
Two bones, yeah. And
so you're at 1% of your daughter.
Right. And I whine. I mean, it hurts.
You
I mean,
don't whine.
I put my foot up. It's got to be up. Kelly, you never hear a complaint out of her. She got her master's degree. She works with other children who have terrible disabilities, you know, hard to deal with disabilities, and she can help them put their lives together. She's a huge inspiration to me and anyone that meets her. Mm-hmm. She had the most magnificent grandchild known to man, Drake, my grandson. And he's a wonderful, delightful child that you'd love to be around him. Just Drake, she's contributed to society more than Dave can. Hey, Dave sits around all night, and he thinks about who we can kill.
Yeah.
How disgusting is that?
And if you think about kids with MS, those are the happiest kids you'll ever meet that are disabled, that we consider disabled, but they are cheerful and happy and will run up and give you a hug. And those people are valuable to society. It gives us the opportunity to learn patience, and it gives us the opportunity to show generosity. And they are so valuable to society. And the mentality that Dave has is, let's purify the mother race.
Right.
Let's get rid of the handicap.
He's being compassionate on the handicap. Well, let me tell you, Kelly is one of the happiest people I know. And she's one of the most inspirational people. Not doesn't just give us the opportunity to be compassionate. It gives us the opportunity to learn from people who have had hardships and are not trodden down by them. You would think that the human race, the minute anything goes wrong, we should crawl under a rock and wait for someone to kill us because it's going to be too tough. Well, it makes you better. It doesn't make you worse.
Absolutely.
Don't be Dave, I'll tell you.
And Dave only has compassion for himself because if anyone gets in his way, you know, a handicapped person might slow him down. It might inconvenience him. And so, therefore, let's get them out of the way. He claimed to be compassionate towards people, but he was completely unconcerned with anyone else. He only cared about himself and, of course, dirt. That was his other point, was that the government has the duty to protect the dirt, and that's about it. It has no responsibility and no authority to have a police force, to have a military. Their duty is to protect the earth.
You know what? Dave is dumb. If Dave had an ounce of sense, an ounce of brains, he would understand that people are not going to destroy the planet. The planet was made to sustain through us.
Yeah, and the Bible says that we are to have dominion over the earth, and not that we should not destroy the earth. But
we should take care of it.
Absolutely. And God has given us that resource, just like he's given us finances, just like he's given us children to watch over. And we need to be good stewards of the resources that God has given us and not destroy it, because I love going out into up to the mountains and seeing the beauty of the nature all around me.
You know, it's so stupid. You go into these nature walks, you know, and it says, do not veer off the path. Like, yeah. My footstep is going to destroy the entire ecosystem out there. That's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
If I veer off a path, I'm not going to dig a hole and cut down trees like a beaver would. Beaver does a lot more damage than I do. I know, because one of them chopped down one of my favorite trees next to my house in the mountains. So,
and I have a picture of my dad standing on snow. He's actually leaning down because the sign has been buried by snow, and the sign says, "Do not step on the grass."
I know.
The grass is being crushed by 6 feet of snow. And yet we can't walk on it.
I think you were with us. We went to a park in Boulder a couple of years ago. We were in Boulder for some protest that we were doing. Bob was with us.
Yeah.
And there was a huge green lawn, and it was had caution tape all around it. And it said, don't step on the grass. And it was a park. And we had to go sit on some rocks by a stream because they didn't want anybody on the grass in the park. What is the park for? To make happy grass?
Yeah. And we were up at CU one time. And they had a grassy area all roped off in a grid, just, you know, perfect squares. And they were doing something there. And so I walked up to one of the students and I thought, well, maybe this is a math class that they're saying, okay, how many weeds are per square, and working on statistics or averages.
Maybe bugs.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what they were doing. And so I asked the student and he said, oh, we're picking the weeds out of the grass and each one is assigned a square. I mean, it wasn't a math class at all. I said, well, why are you doing that? So, well, we don't want to use pesticides to kill the weeds. So,
oh, my.
They're just falling all over themselves.
That would be an herbicide, though.
Yeah, to hand-pick weeds out of the ground. And, of course, the weeds are probably more important to Dave than the babies are. And his first point that I wanted to go back to is he asked multiple questions at the beginning of his call. And then I told him just ask one question, and he said, have you adopted any handicapped kids? And and that's a complete non sequitur, but I asked if you wanted to take it or if I could take it.
Well, obviously I'm a little personally affected, so yeah. I took it.
And you've been in your house and not been able to have a whole lot of human contact for a month.
I'm handicapped right now.
So I graciously let you take it, but I did want to respond to that, and my response to that would be, no, I haven't adopted any handicapped kids. Simple as that. And his response to that would have been, well, then you're a hypocrite.
That's right.
But he doesn't know what the term hypocrite means, apparently, if that would have been his response, and I'm sure it would have been.
He did say that he called because we are hypocrites because we didn't adopt.
Yeah. And if we were on the show talking about how every person should adopt a handicapped child, and we were advocating that, and yet we hadn't done that ourselves, then absolutely we would be hypocrites. But we don't advocate that. And certainly if you want to adopt, then by all means do that. I have a friend in Indianapolis who adopted a child from South Korea. I have friends here in Denver who adopted two Romanian kids. And so my friends adopt kids. They have a heart for children. Now, I have not adopted any kids, handicapped kids, whatever, because I'm a single man. And so I'm not equipped.
Hear that, ladies.
is this an advertisement? No.
Yes.
But I'm not equipped to adopt a child. It would be it wouldn't be cruel, but it wouldn't be in the best interest of the child for me to adopt a child. A child does best when they're in a two-parent home.
Absolutely.
When they have a mother and a father. And so it would be wrong of me to go through the adoption process. Now, if there were no other options, then absolutely give me that child and I'll do the best I can and be the best father I can. But the best option is to have a mother and a father in an intact home. And so because I have not adopted does not mean that abortion should be legal. And it's not hypocrisy, because he doesn't apparently know what hypocrisy is.
No.
So if he wants to say that we advocate not having abortions, and yet we have abortions on the side, as we mentioned yesterday, then yes, that would be hypocrisy. But the point he was trying to make was that if we don't adopt, then we obviously should legalize abortion.
You know what's frightening, Jason? He wasn't a phony.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot more like him out there, because I hear it on the picket line all the time. How many babies have you adopted?
Well, and speaking of him not being a phony, I ask him how an abortion is performed. And I've asked this over and over again to pro-aborts, and first of all, they're shamed by it, because they, in their head, go through and it's like, oh, okay, this is how the abortion is done. I don't want to repeat that.
Right.
It will make me sound cruel and inhuman. And so, therefore, they'll change the subject. And that's what I was expecting Dave to do.
Yeah.
And it's not to his credit that he didn't change the subject. It just shows how heartless he is,
mm-hmm.
because he didn't change the subject. He went through and he rattled off D&E and DNX.
DNX, which is unusual because most people don't know the difference.
Yeah, they don't know the different kinds of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about injecting a poison into the womb to kill the child.
Into the baby's heart.
Yeah, and then he talked about how the suction machine works. And he described an abortion somewhat accurately.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised that he did that.
Without flinching.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Without flinching. And that just goes to how cold-hearted Dave was. And I asked him how much food we waste in this world. He said we are overpopulated,
yeah.
And I asked him to give me a quantifiable evidence for that. Are we running out of housing?
He didn't
are we
have
running
a clue.
Out of just land?
He didn't have a clue. He's just mimicking or parroting back what he's heard on TV.
And so he seized on, we don't have food, because he sees video of starving kids in Africa, and he said, well, we don't have enough food. And, of course, as we mentioned on the show yesterday, that it's not a food problem, it's a freedom problem in Africa. We send food to Africa constantly. And I asked him how much food we waste in the world in a year. He had no idea. So he wasn't informed enough to make that decision to whether we are overpopulated due to lack of food. So I looked up on the internet this morning from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and in the United States alone, we waste 48 million tons of food.
How much is that? I mean, if you put each piece of food end on end, will we make it to the moon? This is ridiculous. And not only that, Jason, but the government pays farmers not to produce.
Exactly.
On top of that.
So if we were producing, you know, if we were in a crisis, as Dave says, where we're overpopulated, first of all, we wouldn't grow tobacco anymore. We would use those fertile fields to grow food. We wouldn't grow cotton. We would figure out some way other than that to clothe ourselves, and we would use that farmland to grow corn, to grow rice, to grow whatever is suitable in that condition. So 48 million tons of food every year goes to waste. And so not all of that could be sent to Africa or whatever, but it's not a food problem. It's a freedom problem in Africa. And I work in the video production industry, and so I know how the audience can be so easily manipulated into seeing overpopulation. And so when they talk about overpopulation, they show New York City. They show Mexico City. They show these cities that are very densely populated. Well, in a free country like America, no one is forced to live in New York City.
They only show one segment of those cities also, Jason. The whole city isn't.
Absolutely. They never show pictures of Montana. They never show Kansas when they talk about overpopulation.
No, they don't show Madrid. It's highly, highly populated and one of the most successful and affluent cities in the world.
Yeah, my family came out to Colorado couple years ago now, and we went to Four Corners, which is the place where four states meet at one point. And I don't recommend ever going there because it is in the middle of nowhere. We were going, and for probably 25 miles, we were driving, and we saw one horse. That was the only, and I, you know, the poor horse, I don't know what he was doing for food or water.
Lonely.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like the lunar surface.
Yeah.
And there is nobody on the planet Earth. When you look at it from space, during the daytime, you can't tell it's inhabited at all. At night, you can see some lights from cities, but an alien wouldn't even know that we were populated. So how can you say we're overpopulated? And we, of course, have done studies, and you can figure out, okay, a person consumes this much physical space and if you put someone shoulder to shoulder, this is how much space they would take up. And everyone in the world can fit into Rocky Mountain National Park here in Colorado. Not
in
everyone
their own in home with their own yard and with enough space for stores.
That's in Texas.
If you
fit everybody, you can physically fit everyone in the world into Rocky Mountain National Park here in Colorado. If you fit everyone into Texas, they would have, I forget what the...
A huge home.
They would have an acre to themselves, something like that. And so we're not saying you can fit everyone in North America. We're not saying you can fit everyone in America. We're not saying you can fit everyone in Colorado. We're not saying you can fit everyone in Denver. We're saying you can fit everyone in Rocky Mountain National Park.
Everyone in the world in Rocky Mountain.
Absolutely. The world is not overpopulated, and he is so gullible and so wants to believe that people are the problem that he is willing to buy into that.
He's willing to sit up nights and think about which one should be killed.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. And, of course, he hasn't taken it upon himself to end his own life because he has, however much he tries to mitigate it, he has an effect on the earth. He is taking natural resources. He is consuming oxygen. He is maybe driving
it. But he's compassionate. He's willing to kill other people to make room for us.
And Dick Lamb, who is a
I'm handicapped.
And Dick Lamb, who's a former state legislator and just a thoroughly evil man, is now coming out and has for years saying that old people have a duty to die.
Guess what, Jay?
What's that?
He's old.
He's going to turn 71 this year.
Yeah.
And he's still around. He's still up and kicking and certainly doesn't have a problem.
Pops is out there yelling, I'm 73.
And he's still contributing to society.
Yes, he is.
Amazingly enough, he's not a drain on society and shouldn't have a ritual suicide to end his life and to spare society the burden of having to deal with him. And so Dave talked about we tried to get Dave to talk about the roles of government. And I asked him, does the government have a role to protect its citizens? And so where I was going with that, I didn't know how messed up Dave was.
No.
But where I was going with that was he was going to say, yes, the government has a right and a role to protect
the
citizens. Well, he should have said the citizens because everyone would say that. And then I would say, okay, who are the citizens? Are the citizens the handicapped? Are the citizens the people with a different skin color? Does they have a right to protect them as well? And how about the unborn? And then where does life begin? And that's where I was going with Dave. Well, he stunned me by saying that the government does not have a proper role to protect people, does not have a proper role to have a police force, to have a military. Their only role was to protect the grass, protect the dirt. That was stunning
to
me.
It was absolutely stunning and frightening because he's not the only one.
Mm-hmm. And that is the proper role of government, is to protect its citizens, first of all, from an internal threat. That's why you have the police force. And an external threat, that's why you have a military. And there's other roles of government, to protect infrastructure, to create infrastructure, that sort of thing. But government has a very limited role. And I would imagine Dave likes the government setting a higher minimum wage. I would imagine Dave likes the government doing a lot of the things that it creates a bigger government, forcing its citizens to do certain things and that are not in favor of freedom.
Because they can't think things through. They don't understand how things really work. And, you know, speaking of the higher minimum wage, I was watching The View yesterday.
Sorry, are you repenting of that sin on the show? All right, go ahead.
I'm repenting. But they were lauding the fact that we now have a higher minimum wage. People can't live at this wage rate, which is true. They can't. But
that's
they
why
can
they
get
don't.
Better. Yeah, that's why they don't. They can get better. And I was just watching these women, and so many people watch that show. Mm-hmm. And they, because these people are famous and well-liked and have big personalities, they believe them.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Well, and of course, whenever minimum wage comes up, the liberals
say, heartless.
Well, and they say, you know, how can a person live on this wage? And so they tell the audience, well, can you live on this wage? And someone making $15 an hour, just, you know, your typical middle class type of person, they say, well, yeah, I couldn't live on $5.50 an hour. That's crazy. We need to raise the minimum wage. Well, who is working the minimum wage? It is the public school, high school guy flipping burgers. And even McDonald's, I don't think, pays minimum wage anymore.
Some people on Social Security, you'll see them in there subsidizing their Social Security, but they're only allowed to subsidize so much or it's taken away from them. So it's a perfect wage for them.
Yeah, and we were doing a video live from Las Vegas, which you can get here at Bob and Yurt Live. And we were talking to a Hispanic gentleman, and Bob said, well, do you want to talk about the minimum wage? And that's the topic that he chose to talk about. And he said, oh, it's not high enough. We need to raise it higher. And he's thinking about the farm workers and so forth. And Bob said, well, yeah, we should raise it to $10 an hour. And the gentleman said, no, we can't have it that high. We have to think of the business owner as well. And so they went back and forth about that, and Bob said, yeah, we do need to think about the business owner, because every time you raise the rate, you're taking away from his not only profits but his operating
abilities.
Yeah. And so what I always think is funny is that Congress is exempt from that. They exempted themselves from the law because they said, well, if we have to pay our pages more, then we won't be able to hire as many.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And
that's the whole point.
The point is they hire so many and they're all doing the work that maybe one person could do, or maybe five people could do the work that they have 15 people doing.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes wasteful. And then they put other people who wouldn't ordinarily be able to get a job. If you have you're handicapped mentally, you have a disability where you can't really think things through, but you can sweep floors and you can pick up and you can do stuff like that. Well, an employer is less likely to hire you when he has to pay you more than what you possibly could produce.
Mm-hmm.
But if he could pay you $2.50 an hour and you could go in and sweep the floors out and leave after you're done, he could afford to do that. You put a whole segment of society out of work when you employ minimum wage tactics.
And so that person who has a disability, who wants to work and has the ability to do some jobs, there's such a sense of accomplishment and self-worth that goes with having a job.
And development.
And development, absolutely. I have an uncle who is severely mentally retarded, but because of my family living in the community in which they do, he is still employed, and he goes down to the sawmill every day, and he works what he can do, and he does help out wherever he can, and that gives him a sense of self-worth. And if you said, well, you can no longer...
And he's actually earning money. He's not getting charity. He's doing it.
Yeah. And if we were to tell him that you can no longer help out your brothers down at the sawmill, that you have to stay home and vegetate, that would crush him.
Right.
And so... And they kind of do this under the table, and they don't pay him minimum wage, I don't think. But it's so hypocritical when the liberals say, well, we have to have a higher minimum wage. Well, can't two consenting adults do what they want? Can't they make a business transaction? And, of course, the liberals think about it, and they don't realize, and like, oh, well, no. And of course,
maybe
that's
Jesus
the argument.
Jesus brings it out in one of the parables. You know, if he wants to pay somebody a penny and they start at 8 in the morning and they work all day, and then he hires somebody at noon and pays him a penny for the whole day, and then he hires someone at the last minute to get stuff done, and everybody's angry, say, hey, what right do you have? Are you happy with what I offered you? Be happy.
Yeah, you made an agreement. You made a contract. And I didn't coerce you into making that decision. And so, therefore, work for what we agreed to. And there are interns that work for no money because they want the experience. And so if they kept going in that job to learn that trade, why not, you know, if you could pay them $2 an hour or something like that, they would enjoy that. They want to get their foot in the door in this industry, and yet they can't because the business owner can't afford to pay them even minimum wage, because it's not worth it.
Well, you know, Jason, back before the war, World War II, in New York, could be a taxi cab driver. You could show up in New York, stick a sign, taxi on your car, pick people up, and make money. It didn't cost you anything to be a taxi driver. But then the war came, and then they had to buy a medallion because there was a shortage of metal and rubber and all this. And they were making money off of people buying this medallion for like $10, you know. As after the war, they didn't stop the medallion thing. And now it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to get that medallion. And now the little guy can't just show up in New York, throw a taxi sign on his car, and pick people up anymore because he can't afford to. It put a whole class of people by regulating them and making them have to.
Yeah, eliminating freedom in New York City. What a shocker that is. And the government should keep an eye on that. You don't want just anybody getting into that and ripping people off. And cheating them by having a meter in their car that doesn't work properly and gives them the wrong fares, that sort of thing. But if someone wants to get into the taxi cab business and wants to chauffeur people around, then that should not involve the government to a great extent as it does now.
Or the unbelievable amounts of money that it does because the government is involved. Unbelievable.
Of course, and they have to get their piece of the pie.
But if Dave were in charge, it would be more. And he would be he'd get people in his taxi and decide whether they should live or not.
Well, you wouldn't need a taxi because there wouldn't be any people
to
either drive the taxi or to take a taxi ride
anywhere.
There'd be
some pretty trees.
There would be very pretty trees, but there'd be no one around to appreciate it.
That's right. So anyway, as far as that goes, I'm going to sleep well tonight because I was able to get it off my chest. But it's just, it really frightens me because Kelly isn't the only person in our family that has some disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that there are people out there gunning for them is frightening. And it's very disturbing to me because it seems like their philosophies are espoused in the media and on TV more than they should be.
Oh, absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
They need to be stigmatized, and they're mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, and we got a little bit of grief from some people that heard the show because they said, why didn't you jump on that guy? Why didn't you attack him? And you were a little bit more aggressive than I was because you hadn't had the opportunity to debate people for a month, so you had it all stored up. But I wanted to give him enough rope to hang himself, and he, of course, did that. And he hung himself when he said we should kill handicapped kids. That's so cruel and so inhumane. But he went further and further, and he wants to kill everybody. So if you want to hear that show, you can go to KGOV, KGOV.com, and that is listed there right on the homepage if you want to listen to that show if you didn't have the opportunity to listen yesterday. And, of course, the show we're doing right now was also going to be archived on KGOV.com, so you can listen to that or any of the past shows that Bob has done or Joe Vi have done. And, of course, we need your help here at Bob Benyart Live. If you want to get live from Las Vegas that we talked about earlier, where you can hear Bob debating people on a whole host of issues, you can get that on our website. And, of course, we have a whole library of products. We had a answering machine message today that when we got into the office, someone got the library, which is all of Bob's materials.
Amazing.
And absolutely loved it. And, of course, we love to hear that feedback. So if you enjoy one of the products, drop us a note or give us a call. Let us know what you liked, and let us know what you didn't like so we can improve our products. We want to offer Christians, the body of Christ, the best products we can do, and we want to strengthen the body of Christ to the best of our ability.
Amen, brother.
And in order to continue to do that, we need your support. So give us a call, go online, and get some of our products and share them with your friends.